You're listening to the Church Requel Audio Podcast, Episode 51, Glorious Day, for this Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013.
Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious world that you have saved me.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Mark Pierce, pastor of Church Requel, and also the normal voice behind the Church Requel audio podcast. I'm here with you on a Wednesday morning, a day later than normal. I will admit to really pushing hard for the Easter service and the Good Friday and all the wonderful things. In fact, we might even call it, what, Glorious? That's the name of our podcast today, Glorious Day. Because it really was a glorious day. We might have called it a glorious weekend because the whole thing was just pretty awesome. But we're here just to kind of report back every single week what happens. This is kind of a podcast. It's an audio journal, kind of a letter from myself to you, the listener. You know, who is actually out there listening to this thing? Well, we really have multiple groups of people. Of course, there are the folks that make up Church Requel, what we call the parishioners, the people who kind of come week in, week out, and even those who are kind of checking out the church, maybe listening ahead of time, wondering, hey, is this the kind of place I want to be a part of or not? But yeah, we give a kind of some of the behind the scenes things that's going on. We know we also have some audience members out there, people who are just, you know, what's it like to start a new church? You know, maybe other church planters, maybe other people who are thinking about maybe getting a church going. And boy, you know, what's involved in it? You know, here we talk about the good things, the glorious things this weekend, and sometimes not the so good things, right? Some of the tough things, because it's not all fun and games. There are weeks that we kind of wonder, what in the world did we get ourselves into? But this is going to be one of those weeks where we get to celebrate just a little bit. Those are always the more fun podcasts. And we always get to the sermon at the end of the podcast. I know many of you check that out. Many of you tune in just for that. And this week is going to be the first in a series. So we're calling the series Toxic. And this particular sermon, this particular talk is Toxic Thoughts. Many of us suffer from different kinds of toxic thoughts, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But before that, let's get caught up with one another. Maybe you've got a cup of coffee there. Maybe you're out driving around, going from one appointment to another. Maybe you're an exercise freak, you know. Maybe you're at the gym right now, and you're really just looking for some company to pass the time. Hey, wherever you are, whatever it is that you're doing, I'm glad that you have checked in here with the Church Requel Audio Podcast, and I hope that this will be a little source, a little oasis of encouragement to you today. All right, so we're calling it Glorious Day, right? So what in the world was so glorious? Well, you know, we had a lot of great things happen to us at Church Requel this past weekend. Many of you know that we were preparing for an ecumenical Good Friday service. Just kind of lucked out, or maybe if you're so inclined, God had this all in mind and kind of arranged it for us. But it seems like God had a lot of things in mind for us this weekend and really worked it out. I'm convinced that, boy, you know, we have to work as hard as we can, but every now and then, God just shows up in a big way, and boy, did He show up in a big way for us this weekend. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. First of all, just the fact that Church Requel got to be used as the place for the ecumenical Good Friday service. What do I mean by ecumenical? Well, I mean that different churches kind of all came together, and it just so happened that St. Luke's Lutheran Church, the place that we have kind of taken over, where we worship, the building was in its rotation. Apparently, every year a different church downtown is used for the Good Friday service, and it just happened to be the building's turn that we are in. And Paul Lintern, who lives in the Chome, well, we call it the Chome. It's kind of a combination church and home. It happens to be his home. It happens to be our church, so we call it the Chome. But Paul Lintern, you know, knows a lot of folks and kind of said, hey, you know, if it's going to be St. Luke's turn anyway, why don't you just have it at Church Requel, same place, different name. And everybody said yes to that, so that was kind of wonderful. Now, of course, what that also meant was that, you know, it's not going to be the typical type of contemporary service that we're used to at Church Requel. We, you know, need to kind of make it something that everybody could feel comfortable being part of. So a lot of, well, let's call them an older audience maybe was there. But boy, did they come out in droves. We had 140 people at the Church Requel on noon on Friday for the Good Friday service, and it was a real great combination between kind of the traditional, we had the organ playing and hymns being sung, but we also had, you know, our screen with video up front, and we had all the words up on the screen, and we gave people the choice, you know, if you like to sing with the hymn book, well, hey, the hymn books are there, and you can open it up, and here's the page number, but you also can just take a look at the words up front. I noticed that not too many people were using the hymn book, so that was kind of fun. We also had some skits from the skit guys. I don't know if you'd call them skits. They were really more monologues. The two guys that do the skit guy stuff, we use their resources all the time. And I sent three sketches to Paul Lintern, my partner down at the Chome, and said, hey, these are designed just for Good Friday. I think we could incorporate these. And he loved the idea. I've heard from several people that really made the Good Friday service just real personal. You know, it kind of put us into the minds of the major characters and the roles that they played on Good Friday. I've often said that one of the things that, as a pastor, that I struggle with in the Holy Week period, you know, between the Sunday that we celebrate Palm Sunday and the Sunday that we call Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday, you know, we kind of go from victory to victory, and we never really have this sense of the pain and agony and just incredible feeling of sacrifice and loss that the early disciples certainly must have experienced. We call it Good Friday, but for them, the death of Jesus on the cross at that moment seemed like it was anything but good. And so I think that, you know, we had that opportunity in that service to kind of bring that moment to our forefront of our minds and just think about that and dwell on that for a while. And certainly it was an older audience that was there from several different churches. But let me tell you, Church Requel showed up in a big, big way. And all the other pastors who was there, I've never been a part of this before, so I don't know what they were used to. But they all said, wow, what a big crowd. This is awesome. So I kind of got the idea that they don't normally have 140 people at the Good Friday service, and that was due in large part to Church Requel showing up in such a big way. It was kind of like our church and then kind of everybody else, and that was really good, I think, from a lot of perspectives. For one thing, I got a lot of feedback, all of it positive, so don't take any of this negative, but I got a lot of feedback from our own people, you know, just kind of affirming that you know, it was good, they appreciated it, but they were sure looking forward to the more contemporary stuff that we typically do. Made them all kind of appreciate who we are and our uniqueness as Church Requel. The other really unique thing that happened that I had no hand in at all, so again, I just give all glory to God about this, is the fact that the local newspaper, the Mansfield News Journal, showed up, a photographer from the News Journal, I should say, showed up on Saturday, and it was just great. I got to meet him in the back of the church because the service had already begun, and got to talk to him a little bit. I told him about the little secret that we have that, you know, if you go out the back door, and you actually could do this also by going downstairs, but the fastest way is to go out the back door, down the steps, and around the outside of the building, and then back into the side door. You can get to the front of the sanctuary that way and get some great pictures if you want to do that without having to walk up, you know, right through the middle of the sanctuary. And I think he was very appreciative of that. He took, I don't know, dozens, if not more than 100 photos while he was there. Now here's the amazing part. Saturday morning, I'm still in bed and all of a sudden my phone starts going off. My Facebook friends writing me. I'm opening it up and they're all saying, "Mark, you're on the cover of the Saturday News Journal." And so I run downstairs and, you know, I'm still in my pajamas, but I don't care. Nobody's going to see me. I go outside and bring in the newspaper from that cold, chilly sidewalk and open it up. And, oh, my goodness, there is a picture of yours truly right on the cover above the fold. I mean, there was actually two photos. There's no article, just two large photos. The title said Holy Week. And there was a picture of yours truly saying the benediction. And then there was a picture below it of the whole church being filled with people. I mean, it was like, it would really be a pastor's dream come true. I mean, what better advertising could you have on the day before Easter than to have, you know, a picture of the pastor and a picture of the church on the front page of the newspaper, taking up about a third of the page? You cannot buy that kind of advertising. And that's the kind of thing that God just provided for us. The interesting thing is, you know, I was not the main speaker on the Good Friday service. It was one of the other pastors. I mean, I did several things. I did a responsive reading. I said a prayer. And then there was a benediction at the end. Well, it was the benediction photo that they used for the front page of the News Journal. So I wrote all my friends back and said, "Okay, don't blink. This is my 15 minutes of fame." Of course, by the time you see this or read this or hear this podcast, that 15 minutes of fame is long gone. But boy, what a wonderful opportunity for us. Now, that kind of drove, at least in part, the fact that we had a record audience for our Easter service. You say, well, what's a record audience? 81 people were there. We had 35 first-time guests at Church Requel Sunday morning. So it's just a phenomenal response. And I think that had a lot to do, not only, of course, with the newspaper. That helped. But I also think it was in large part due to the fact that people in our church did a phenomenal job of inviting their family and friends to come out. We know, of course, that there are a lot of what we call Christers out there, right? Those are the people that come for Christmas and Easter. And I am not under any illusions that this coming Sunday we're going to have anywhere as close to that number. I know that it's going to back off. But here's the cool thing. We've never had 81 people for Easter. I don't know that we've, you know, would normally have had 61 for Easter. In fact, I am sure that there have been Easters where we probably didn't, you know, hit the halfway mark on that. So we're feeling really, really good about this. Just, you know, we're about 3 months into this new change at the St. Luke's Point of Grace, and also the change to the Sunday morning time frame. And I think that's really helped us out tremendously. You know, you ask people if you were going to go to church, not that you're a church person, but if you were going to go to church, what time of the week, what time of the day would you go to church? Well, here's the thing, at least in our area, it's going to be Sunday morning. And if you could pick a time Sunday morning, as late as possible. So I think the 11 o'clock time frame is helping us out a lot. I think the location is helping us out a lot. I think that our people are just really excited as they see the improvements that we're making in the sanctuary, in the auditorium. You know, taking something that is very old, 126-year-old building, but beautiful woodwork. Definitely, as we, you know, worship there the very first time on Christmas Eve, you look up and you could see that there were some pretty major problems with the ceiling. Lots of big cracks. I mean, there were just things that were apparently falling apart, although it was more surface than anything else. But, you know, 3 months into it, we've been doing a lot of work. Paul's been doing a lot of work patching up the ceiling and repainting it. We've been doing a lot of work to the technology side and having that new screen up and our sound system integrated into it and having the lighting up on the beams. I think people are really just enthused about the combination of the old and the new. Not always terrific on Sunday morning. I mean, these are the nice problems to have. I noticed as I went up to take communion that I was one of the last ones to grab a communion cup. There were maybe 5 communion cups on 2 tables left as I went back to take communion. And then, you know, as I sat down, I thought to myself, wait a minute, Mark, you're the pastor here, you're the leader, and you just better take a look. And sure enough, I looked up, and there were still new people, you know, coming to the communion table. I right away got up and put my cup back on one of the plates and then moved the plate from one side of the aisle where no one was there to the other side and tried to make sure that everybody got communion that needed it. And we still had some people that, took the bread, but there was no communion cups left. And I thought, that's a nice problem to have. We didn't plan for enough people, you know, to take communion. When we dismissed the kiddos to go down to junior church, there were 15 of them that went down with Miss Lisa. I just thought to myself, oh, Lisa, I hope that you're, you know, prepped for that. Because, you know, typically, it used to be anyway, typical, that we'd have somewhere between 4 and 8 kids, you know, that would go downstairs when we would do the downstairs, when we do the children's church thing. So, you know, 15, that was a pretty big group. But boy, Lisa was prepared. No problem at all. Had just an awesome time down there. We had a good praise team. A couple of the other ladies sang with me. Just a great opportunity for practice with Cindy and Trish. A couple of days before, Cindy has been singing with me. This is the first time that Trish has done it with me. And, you know, I don't think she is so inclined to get up in front of people. She loves to worship. She loves to sing. She's a good singer, but she's just not real comfortable in front of other people. But she said to me last Wednesday, well, Mark, if you ask me, if you want me to do it, then I will do it. Apparently, she had already told her mom and dad no, that she wasn't going to do it. But something about, the pastor making the phone call, making the plea. And I think she really enjoyed it. You know, it was tough to do it. Cindy, I know, also struggled. She told me afterwards, you know, she did fine during it, but afterwards she said, I'm shaking. Kind of like the aftershocks of being up front. But, Diana DeVolder, who is our, great, Facebook, webmaster, took lots of pictures on Sunday and posted them up. And well, one of the pictures that you're seeing on the cover art here of this podcast is from Trish and Cindy and I singing with the what a lucky shot, you know, Oh Glorious Day in the background on the screen. Well, some of the pictures that I saw on the Facebook, though, I loved the fact that there were a couple of new babies there with their parents, and they got to meet one another. And, you know, it's kind of neat that this is a place where young parents and young families can come to worship the Lord together. So just a lot of great pictures. You know, I hadn't really thought about the fact that there are going to be families who want to come and get their family picture taken at church. We had a lot of beautiful flowers up front. One of the ladies, her name is Amy. She's one of the people that used to go to St. Luke's Lutheran Church, and she has continued to come to Church Requil. I know that she is tied to the place, but I think she's enjoying the enthusiasm and the excitement and the life that we're seeing at Church Requil. And she's the one who came up to me, and she's just so humble about it, but with definitely a great suggestion that people consider bringing flowers into the church and having beautiful flowers between the Sunday that we have Palm Sunday and the Easter Sunday. And then if we don't take them home, we can plant them around the church. And that's going to be really wonderful once it eventually warms up. Hopefully it warms up soon. But I noticed that Amy had her whole family, grandkids, kids. I mean, I don't know. There's more than a dozen with her on Sunday. And I did something inside of me, you know, kind of a, I don't know, I would call it pride, but just a rejoicing thing that people are getting their pictures taken at church, and that this is part of their family now. This is part of their tradition now. That's brand new to me. I mean, that has not happened before. We've met in two different locations, but neither one of them lent itself to that kind of a thing. And so that was just so exciting. One of the young families, Randy and Lissa and their daughter, got their picture taken. And just as the photographer was taking the picture, the screen behind them changed to the "Welcome to Church Requel. We're glad you're here." Now, how does it get any better than that? That's just awesome. It all reminds me that, you know, a lot of the photos that we have on our official church website are really old, and we need to get those updated. That's just one of the leadership challenges that I've got to get cracking on. It's one of those things that, you know, for anyone who listens, who is a leader of another church, boy, doesn't the website just never, ever end? I mean, you know, you can get it going and you can get it all set up, but you know, just naturally the website gets old fast. And you may think you got it all taken care of. I mean, really, it's just one of those things that you just got to stay on top of all the time. Work on the CHOM continues. We call it CHOM. It's a combination church and home. We've got the lumber purchase now to be able to build the new sound booth that's going to be going up in the back. I doubt that we see any framing done this week, although Steve continues to surprise me on how fast he moves, so who knows. But probably we'll begin seeing the framing in of that next week. This week, I think we're going to be getting some of the wash lighting accomplished. So as people come into the church, we've got these very colorful lights, and we used to put them up on the poles on top of the speakers. But it kind of takes away from the ambiance, you know. What we're trying very hard to do is we're trying very hard to have some really nice tech, some very effective tech in the church, but we don't want the tech to overwhelm the experience of being in this 126-year-old building. You know, the best tech is the tech that's effective without being in your face all the time. And so we're moving that lighting to the very front, and in essence what we have in mind is putting two poles very, very close to the very front wall of the church, and then putting the lighting at about, I don't know, 5-6 feet high, okay, a little bit lower than eye level, and then the light will wash up to the front of the ceiling, or front of the, excuse me, not the front of the ceiling, the front of the church, the front walls. Now, the really cool thing about that is that the front wall is a kind of an off-white cream color. And so now, and it's got this gigantic arch, beautiful arch that was built into the church when the church was built, constructed in the late 1800s. Now, with this colorful lighting, we'll be able to change the color of the front of the church just with a quick swipe of the slider from the back. That's going to be really beautiful, really wonderful. And will help us to affect the mood of what we want to accomplish at any particular point in the service. So I'm thinking we'll probably get that done. You know, it seems like every single week there's been something new that has happened at the church that we can kind of look forward to. Well, that's, I'm hoping, one of the things that we can see that will be new. The other thing that's going to be really cool this coming weekend, past week, I got the new Bibles, the new NIV Pew Bibles that will be going into the front or the back of all the pews. They're really nice Bibles. They're very colorful. They have a lot of green and blue in them. I'm actually holding one in my hand. And my intention is every time that I put a verse reference in the program, I also want to put a page number from the Pew Bible. Again, that's just one of the things that we want to be able to do to be friendly to an unchurched person who comes in and, you know, wants to be able to follow along, but, you know, where do you go and exactly where is Ezekiel after all? Well, you know, it's going to be a lot easier to say, hey, turn to page 447 in your Pew Bible. So that's going to be kind of cool. And the way that we're going to do that is, the way we're going to get the Pew Bibles out, we're going to make a big deal of it. You know, the last few weeks, the kids have been working on a project that I have given them a month ago of taking $10 and investing it and coming back, just like the parable of the talents. And boy, you know, some of them just did a phenomenal job bringing back 5 to 6 times the amount that we had originally given them. And then we had a businessman who doubled that. So basically we had enough money to be able to buy these Pew Bibles and not affect our budget at all. Well, you know, rather than just show up one Sunday and have the Pew Bibles in the pews and, you know, not being a big deal, I want to make a big deal out of it. So I've asked a couple of ladies to wrap these gigantic boxes of Bibles, and they're going to be up in the front. So when people come in this weekend, they'll see these large boxes, gift wrapped, but not exactly know what they are unless you listen to this podcast. You're an insider, right? So you'll know what's going on. And then I'm going to invite all the kids to come up front. I'm going to tell them in one way or another, you know, no matter what you do for God, you can never outgive God. And that God loves to multiply our work, and he gives us gifts back when we try to give to him. And then I'm going to have them unwrap the boxes, find the Pew Bibles in them, and then have them distribute those Bibles right there on Sunday morning. So I think that's going to be kind of an exciting time. And, you know, we want to give them the opportunity to experience it. I want this Church Requilt to be a place that as they're growing up, every single week when they come into church, they sit down, they see the Pew Bible, and it will remind them of when they were 10 years old and they went out and worked and made a personal contribution to the church that really made a change. And you know, it's going to be kind of a great reminder. Have a lot of family and friends coming in this weekend. This is just from a personal standpoint. Had a lot of personal fun things. I told you I took a couple of days off after Easter. Went down and saw my brother, Todd. He is just a wonderful mechanical kind of guy. He really knows how to do things that I am at a complete loss on. And so every year I like to take my bicycle down and he works on it. This year I got myself a new bicycle wheel. The spokes on my old wheel had been busting quite a bit. So we got a new wheel. He installed the new wheel and then kind of took the whole bike apart and put it all back together. And now it runs as good as it ever did. You know, now I have no excuse at all when the weather warms up a bit to not be able to get out and do a lot of bike riding. On my way back home yesterday, I stopped at the running store in Columbus and got myself a brand new pair of running shoes. Boy, I tell you, that's joy. Wearing a new pair of running shoes. I went out with the running club last night. We run 4 miles together every Tuesday night. I did my best time ever. I'm going to say it was the shoes. Didn't have anything to do with my own enthusiasm, but I beat 9 minutes a mile. So, you know, I feel like I'm getting in better shape. That's good. We also have a lot of family and friends coming in this coming weekend. Jessica Schauer is going to be on Saturday. Mary Kay has been working really hard to get this place in ship top. How do you say that? Tip top ship shape. All the carpets are cleaned. Everything is looking beautiful. I think we have about 40 ladies coming in for Jessica's shower. So a lot of family members coming in. That's going to be fun. I've invited some of them to stay over. Christy Ann Pierce, my niece, she's going to stay over and sing for us on Sunday. My good friends, Rock and Kim Marietta, I used to be on a praise team with them for about 5 years at a church that we worshiped at together. Actually, the church before that church, we did a lot of things together. I've known Rock and Kim for 30 years. We met one another actually in childbirth classes when our sons were being born, and both those boys are going to be turning 30 later this year. So that's how long I've known Kim and Rock, and they're going to be singing with me Sunday. And I am sure that they're going to have some family coming in. So, you know, between my family and friends and maybe some of their family, maybe our attendance won't completely dip back to the normal levels after the Easter service this coming weekend. So a lot of good things happening. I've got to get myself back into work mode here later today. Got to write another sermon in this Toxic series. Really enjoying that. Have a leadership meeting tomorrow evening. We're going to be reviewing the numbers, attendance, and the finances, of course. All looking pretty good. Much better than what we had hoped that we had thought that we would be at. So we'll be able to rejoice together tomorrow evening on that. Well, hey, it looks like I've been talking for about 30 minutes, 31 minutes or so. I need to wrap this up so that you can get to the sermon from this past Easter. It's not your typical Easter message. You know, I try to wrap it, fold it into the Easter time frame, but I thought it made a lot of sense to start a brand new series on Easter so that maybe some of those 35 new folks that were there might say, oh, this is a series and it's something that's helpful to me. Maybe they got a little taste of it this past Sunday, and then as a result, maybe they'll come back for part two this coming Sunday. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I'm kind of hoping that that's the case. The name of the series is called Toxic, and it's the idea that, you know, we all have things that kind of want to invade us. You know, like anything else is toxic, it's poisonous, it can be harmful, even deadly to us if we allow it to be. This past week, we started off by talking about toxic thoughts. Now, I have shared on this podcast before, but I just share with you again that, you know, I'm not at all beyond using really good material that other people have produced. And in this case, this is a sermon that was originally written by Craig Rochelle at lifechurch.tv. Not only did were they gracious enough to share the sermon, but to share all of the sermon resources, videos, and the artwork, which we have definitely incorporated into this series. What I have also learned is that any time that you use somebody else's work, it ultimately becomes yours because, you know, you're going to use your own stories, you're going to use your own experiences, and in many cases, you're going to use your own outline. So, you know, I want to give credit where credit is due. Thank you so much, Craig Rochelle and LifeChurch.tv, for being generous to churches like mine that are so much smaller, that just don't have the resources to be able to do the kind of production things that you do. And then we can incorporate that. And I think that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, here you go. Toxic Thoughts, the first in a series of 5 messages that will continue next Sunday. Thank you all for listening very much. And hope you have a great week.
What a glorious way that you have saved me. And oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious name.
Happy Resurrection Day again. If ever there was a day in history that should change the way we think about everything, today is that day. You know, before Jesus was resurrected, there really was no hope, no real solid hope for life beyond the grave. But now, no matter what it is that we face, whether it be a death sentence or whether it be any other kind of problem that we have in life, no matter how difficult the trial, we know that we're going to be resurrected too someday if we follow Jesus. I love how the gospel writer Luke tells this story about the road to Emmaus. We hear that there are two disciples. They remain nameless, by the way. I'm sure that's on purpose. But they're walking along this road to Emmaus, and they have heard the news about Jesus being risen, but they're not sure what to make of it. They don't know what to think about it. And then along comes Jesus, but they don't recognize him. We're told that Jesus walks along with these disciples, and that they explain to him that some women have seen him risen, but they don't know what to think. They don't know how they are supposed to think. It obviously doesn't change how they thought. And so Jesus explains everything to them about what was supposed to happen and why the resurrection was so important. Christians today can be like this. We celebrate today the best good news possible, right? The resurrection of Jesus. But for all too many of us, it doesn't change the way we think. For many of us, our lives are filled with toxic thoughts. What my dad used to call stinking thinking. So today, we're beginning a new sermon series. We like to do that here at Church Requel. Quite honestly, Pastor Mark comes up with ideas that he can't possibly explain in one sermon. And rather than keep you for 2.5 hours, we decided it's best to break it up over a period of 5 or 6 weeks. So we're beginning a new series, and I hope that you'll come back over the next 5 weeks to hear about this whole idea of toxic thoughts, toxic influences, toxic relationships, toxic words, as well as, sadly for too many of us, toxic religion. Now, what do we mean by toxic? Let's get a definition out there that can be helpful for all of us. Toxic, and by the way, there are notes that you can follow if you would like, if you're so inclined. Some of you might have some of those smartphones or tablets that you can get the Bible app on, and we actually have our sermon notes in there too. If you just hit that little menu button and click on live, it's kind of buried down below the fold there, you'll find the notes for today here at Church Requel. So let's talk about the definition of toxic. Anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. Now that's what toxic means. That's right out of the dictionary. You don't have to have a special degree in religiosity to know what toxic means. It's anything containing poisonous materials. We're going to learn today that we're all of us need a little personal poison control when it comes to our thinking and our words and our relationships and our influences. We need to protect ourselves from those toxic thoughts, those toxic relationships, those toxic influences, those toxic behaviors that quite honestly compromise our well-being, that keep us from becoming the royal children that God has created you to be. God has made you to be special. God has made me to be special. And yet, all too often, because of the way we think, we don't live up to what God has created us to become. It all starts, and that's why the sermon series begins today, with how we think. It really is the thought that counts. You've heard that, right? It really is true. It's the thought that counts. Take a look at our Bibles. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. From the King James Version. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me read that again. For as he, or as a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he. We may pretend to live in a certain way on the outside. And many of you have come into church and you got some of your best clothes on today and you got your best face on today and you're looking good on the outside. We all like that. But on the inside, you know, maybe we're filled with poison. Maybe we're filled deep down with some toxic thoughts. Jesus was resurrected. And we hold out hope for our own resurrection someday. But some of us are living until that day filled with toxins, even though that Jesus died, even though he rose again, it doesn't change how we think. I want to talk to us today and over the course of the next few weeks about how this works. Some of you, some of us have this ongoing tape recording of thoughts that's in our life that plays over and over again in our heads. You know what I mean? Well, just in case you don't, take a look.
Do you ever wonder what people are really thinking about?
I'm feeling lost today. I tried to find my way back, but the landscape has changed, and now I'm miles away from where I belong.
It's so easy to get lost in our negative thoughts. I'll never be good enough. My life doesn't matter. I hate the way I look. I can't do it all. I'll always be miserable. God just doesn't care about me. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. It really is the thought that counts.
I'm so lost.
Can some of you identify with that video that we just played? Do you play those negative thoughts over and over again all the time? I'm just not good enough. I don't deserve anything good. I'll never be good enough. I worry all the time. Or I'm alone. I'm lonely. I don't deserve anything. I can't do anything right. Now, what you need to know is that some of those thoughts have been ingrained into your minds from the time that you were just little. Some of you have had parents when you were children who just drilled that negative stinking thinking into your head. And really, the tape recording that you're playing back is the words that you remember them telling you. Or maybe somebody else significant in your life. And to be honest, and to not, you know, play the blame game here, their parents probably did the same thing to them. And the cycle just kind of continues from generation to generation. Some toxic thoughts come as a result of the guilt of something that we've done wrong in the past, and we just can't get over it. Or maybe it's something that somebody else did wrong towards us, and we just keep playing that betrayal over and over in our head. Here's what I want to talk about today. How do we stop that toxic thinking? What difference does the resurrection make in how I think about life? And does it make any kind of a difference? That's what we want to talk about, not only today, but over the next several weeks. Take a look at our Bibles again, Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23, we begin to get a hint here about what God has in mind. He says this, carefully guard your thoughts. You might want to circle that. I've underlined it for you. But carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of life. See, the Bible here is telling us that you have to be proactive. And many of us aren't. Many of us just kind of sit back and we just kind of let go in and go out, thoughts go in and go out, and we don't do any kind of a guarding. But the Bible says, guard your thoughts. You know, I know not all of us are big hockey fans, but I want you to think of that goalie that stands in front of the net, the goal, and his job is to keep that puck from going in that goal. You are supposed to be like that in your life. You're supposed to be guarding your thoughts. You protect what goes in and what goes out. You recognize that what you let in and what you let out, that those thoughts that unbidden just play over and over and over again in your head, you realize from this verse that this is really the source of life, right? Isn't that what it says? Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of life, right? Let me tell you something else. Not only are they the source of life, but we might add that they're the source of death. Because what it is that you think about is what it is that drives you. Because like everything that's toxic, you can literally kill yourself from the inside out by what you think about your life. Now, let's get real practical about this. How do we go about this guarding, right? Well, here's our first fill in the blanks here. First of all, identify and reject toxic thoughts. Identify and reject toxic thoughts. That's how I guard my thoughts. I have to identify, first of all, what it is that is a toxic thought. And then I need to separate out the good from the bad, the toxic from the healthy. And then I need to reject those toxic thoughts. Let me give you an illustration that might help you. Think of yourself as the post 9/11 TSA at the airport. Remember 9/11, right? That changed everything, right? Anybody remember going to the airport before 9/11? Because before 9/11, we could just walk into the airport and hop on a plane. It was no big deal. You could go up to the gate. You could wave goodbye. You could stand there. You could watch the plane take off. No problem. You went in and out of the airport just as you wanted, as you liked. Then 9/11 happened. And we realized that there are bad guys out there. And that we need to protect our airplanes and our airport and our people who fly from the toxic people that would want to hurt us. Guarding our thoughts is exactly the same thing. You literally need to be standing there at the entrance of your mind, running those thoughts through the machine, having those thoughts raise their arms and you patting them down and saying, do I let you in or do I not let you in? That's what guarding your mind. That's what identifying and rejecting. And then when a thought comes in, that, and they will all the time, you're a bad guy, you're toxic, you're out of here. Now, let's take a look and see how this actually works. Take your Bibles and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We're gonna hang here for a little bit because I think this will help you see what it is that we're all about and what we're talking about on this Easter morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, again from the NIV. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretensions that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now let's break that down a little bit and apply it to our toxic thinking talk this morning. First, we find that the weapons that we're dealing with are of the world, are not of the world. They are divine power. Not weapons of the world, but divine power. Now, it's really important that we get this out here. This is no positive mental attitude kind of talk. You've heard of PMA, right? Just keep thinking the good stuff. Eventually play the good stuff over and over in your mind, and you'll eventually, the good things will come to you in life. That's not what we're talking about here at all. What is important for you to understand is that every good thing does come from God. God, after all, is good. Positive mental attitude, PMA, is actually God's idea. It's just that the PMA that you hear about in psychology is all watered down without really the power to do anything about it. You can have positive mental attitude all that you want, but you're never going to overcome your stinking thinking without God's help. Here, we see it's about the divine help. That means God's help. That divine power. That's a Greek word, dynatos. That's where we get our word dynamite. In other words, literally, it's God's power where we get the dynamite, the powerful, mighty, strong God who can blow up the strongholds in our life. Why? Because it's not from me, it's not from us, it's not how we are wired. It's from God. Secondly, we see here about demolished strongholds. What are the strongholds that we're talking about? There can be many things, but as it relates to what we're talking about today, and oh, hear me here, because some of you, even as I'm talking, the tape is playing over and over in your mind, right? Those tapes that you're playing over and over again in your mind, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, no, you know, I'm never going to amount to anything. Whatever that is that you're playing over and over again, those are the strongholds. That's like a fort that's built up in your mind that holds you back, that keeps you from being all that God has in mind for you, that literally is holding you captive. It's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. It's in your head. And what we're seeing here is that God has the power, if you tap into it, to dynamite, to blow up those strongholds, those tapes that are playing over and over again in your head. And then we see this against the knowledge of God. See, what I want to give you, some of you have this idea, well, you know, if I just, I'm thinking these things, I've never been able to get over it. When I wake up in the morning, I'm playing it to the time I go to bed at night, and I'm not really hurting anybody but me. What difference does this make? I want to give you the idea here that this is literally against the knowledge of God. Do you see that? This is not an option. This is not, well, okay if I do it. Okay, if I don't do it, it's going to benefit me if I do it, but it's not going to hurt anybody if I don't. No, it's not an option. These false tapes in your mind, hear me here, these false tapes are literally anti-God. They're not from God, they're not about God, and they literally are keeping you from God by playing them over and over again. They go against what His will is for you. They go against what He wants for you. They go against what He has in mind for you. Okay? This is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual battle. This is your spiritual enemy who wants to hold you back from being all that God has in mind for you. I hope that everybody who's here is a Christ follower. I hope if you're not, by the time you leave here today, you'll decide to follow Him. But I also hope that for many of you who have made the decision to follow Christ, that you'll recognize some of the things that we're talking about here and saying, you know, I've made the decision to follow Christ, but somehow it's just never seemed to take hold. And maybe, just maybe, it's because of the toxic thinking thoughts that's playing over and over again in your head, and it's keeping you, literally, it's like handcuffed that you don't have to have. God's power wants to blow off those handcuffs, anything that is holding you back from Him. That's why it says here in the end of this verse 5, we take captive every thought. Do you see that? Boy, some of you just need to, you know, put little brackets around it, circle it, write a Bible reference on it. Some of you need to take your Bibles and put a little star on it. Or if you got some of those Bible apps on your phone, you need to get the highlighter out here and highlight that part, okay? It needs to stand out. We take captive every thought. We literally reject any thought that is not obedient to Christ. Now, let's talk about four different categories of toxic thoughts, because I want to make sure that you get this. I want to make sure that you understand what it is that we're talking about. What are these toxic thoughts? They can come in multiple varieties. For some of you, they're first of all just negative thoughts, probably what you've been thinking about from what I'm talking about here this morning. I don't have what it takes. I'll never be good enough. I just don't get all the good breaks. Good stuff happens to other people. I'm just kind of a loser. I've never won in my life. I'm not going to start winning now. I can't get it all done. Wake up in the morning, just it's not going to get finished. I'm not going to get done. I have too much to do. All the good things happen to you. None of the good things ever happen to me. These are just negative thoughts. And some of us are just born into a negative lifestyle of just thinking negative stuff over and over again. These are toxic thoughts. These are not the kind of thoughts that a child of God should have. And you need to recognize it. These are not obedient to Christ. Those negative thoughts are keeping you from understanding what it is that God wants you to have. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're not going to go through bad stuff. I'm not saying that negative things aren't going to happen to you. In fact, the Bible is very clear that we as Christ followers will suffer. Okay? What I'm saying is, even when it happens, what's going on negative out there don't have to be negative in here. Because you are a child of Christ and you are going to be resurrected someday. And you don't have to be thinking that way no matter what's going on. Not only the negative thoughts, but some of us have real fearful thoughts. Fearful thoughts. This would include the category of all the worry thoughts. Some of you are worriers. You know, if you don't have a job, you're worried about never getting a job. If you got a job, you're worried about losing your job. What if I lose my job? Or what about my kids? What about them? Are they going to be safe today? What will happen to them? Or if you're not married, I'm worried that I'm never going to get married. It's never going to happen for me. And if you are married, it may be, I worried that I married the wrong person. He or she ain't never going to get better. That's also number three category, what we call discontented thoughts. Some of you suffer from discontented thinking. I don't like the way I look. Or, I married the wrong person. I wish my husband would get a better job. I wish my husband would pay more attention to me. Or, I wish my wife would take better care of herself. Or I wish my wife would pay more attention to me. I wish, okay? I wish we had different kids. I wish that we had a nicer car. I wish that I had a better job. Right? That's called discontented thinking. And some of us play that tape over and over again in our head. Or here's a fourth category. Critical thoughts. Critical thoughts. I would never do that. Some of us are just born naturally gifted when it comes to critical thinking. Can you believe the way she dresses? This place would fall apart without me. Let's take a show of hands. How many of you know somebody who suffers from the gift of critical thinking? Yeah, you're all critical right now. I got you. I got you. All right, here's what I want you to get. Oh, my. In all of this, you have a choice. See, that's the key. Some of us, until today, may never have realized that in my thought life, I have a choice. But you do. You have a choice in how you think. Some of you don't know this, but I want you to know that there is a battle in the spiritual world that you cannot see, that goes on beyond your physical life here. And you have a choice in how you respond to it. The battle in the spiritual world is going to be won or lost right up here in your mind. You make a choice as to whether or not you will identify and reject toxic thoughts, thoughts that are harmful to you. And you have a choice also then to embrace what is true. And all that choice is made possible because of God's help. Not just because of you, but because of God. You need to pray like Jeremiah prays in Jeremiah 12:3. I love this prayer. Some of you might want to remember this prayer. Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. This verse, I think, needs to be the prayer of our life. We are all too ready to misidentify toxic thoughts as just okay, as being acceptable. We say to God with this prayer, "Oh God, test my thoughts. Test my thinking. If you see something, oh Lord, that causes me to misidentify you, that causes me to think wrongly about you, that causes me to have a gap between where you are and where I am, then I want you to let me know. I want you to drag those thoughts away." I mean, this is graphic. This gives you some idea of how important this is. Drag them out just like sheep. They're going to be slaughtered. I almost said sleep. I apparently need more, okay? Drag them off like sheep to be slaughtered. Identify and reject. Now, how do you do this? I replace my toxic thoughts with God's truth. I replace those toxic thoughts that are going on in my head with God's truth. We've played this game before here at Church Requel, but many of you haven't been here to play the game, so let's try it again. What I want you to do is I want you all to close your eyes. And what I want you to do right now is not think about a cucumber. Focus hard. Don't think about that cucumber. It's kind of green and it's long and you can slice it and put it on salads. Think about anything else. Just don't think about a cucumber that could become a pickle someday if it lives its life right. Okay, you can open your eyes. Have you noticed that you can never not think about something? Our brains are not wired that way. We can't think in the negative. We can only think in the positive. You can't not think about something. You can only think about something else. Okay? Does that make sense? And so we have to replace the toxic thoughts, that tape recording that's playing over and over and over again in our head. We have to replace it with God's truth. I make a choice to embrace the God-inspired thoughts. Here's a key. You might want to write this down. You will find whatever it is that you're looking for. So what is it that you're looking for? You will find whatever it is that you're looking for. Some of us just aren't looking for it. Are you looking for God thoughts or are you looking for toxic thoughts? I can never just stop thinking in a particular way. I have to be proactive. I have to replace the negative with the positive. Read this from Philippians 4, 7, and 8. The peace of God. Some of you need some peace in your life. Some of you just always thinking in a tough way, need some peace. Here we go. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard will guard your hearts and your minds. Do you see that? The peace of God will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Think about such things. Do you see that? Replacing the positive, the negative with the positive. You meditate on these right things. And you'll be able to hold away from your mind the negative, the fearful, the discontented, the critical, toxic thoughts. And the way you do that is by thinking about these other things. These things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. You choose it proactively. This, by the way, is called training. You train your mind to think in a certain way. I choose to believe God's truth that until I eventually find it living out in my life. My life becomes renewed after my mind is renewed. One more verse that will help you see this. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word, renewing, anakainosis is how it's done in the Greek. A renewal, a renovation. Some of your minds just need to be renovated. All right? Kind of what we've been doing here at Church Requel is renovating this beautiful building. All right? Some of your minds need to be renovated. Those recordings of the past playing over and over again, you need to wipe those thoughts clean out of your mind and replace them with new thoughts from God. Take a look.
Your thoughts really do matter. A toxic thought contains poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. That's why we're going to identify and reject those toxic thoughts. The Bible tells us to carefully guard our thoughts because they are the source of true life. Scripture says the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Jeremiah said, "Yet you know me, O Lord. You see and test my thoughts about you. Any thoughts that are not consistent with your word, drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter." We will identify and reject all toxic thoughts. And we will replace those thoughts with God's truth. The Bible says the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's why we will think on whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, we will think about such things. The Bible tells us we will not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Because it is the thought that counts.
Do some of you have some toxic thoughts that you'd like to replace this morning? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful turnout that we have here for Easter today. But Lord, I know that within this crowd, there may be some who have never come to the point where they have surrendered their life to you. And boy, what an opportunity to start the rest of their life off with this Easter Sunday 2013 by living for you. You know, you can do that with a simple prayer. If you're suffering from toxic thinking, but you've not come to the place in your life where you have surrendered your life to Christ, where you've not decided to follow Him, you can just decide that by praying this prayer. You pray after me. Heavenly Father, I thank You for what You have done. I thank You for bringing me here. I would like to follow Your Son, Jesus. Maybe I have prayed this prayer before, but today I pray that You would make it real in my life. Help me to turn from my toxic thoughts and my toxic acts and my sinful life and to turn toward You. And even if I don't do it perfectly, Lord, help me stay with You. If you've prayed that prayer today, there are angels rejoicing with you. And like several who today are celebrating a one-year anniversary or a two-day birthday, you may be remembering Easter as your spiritual birthday. And then, Lord, for others who are here, let's keep on praying. Lord, there are others who are here who may have already prayed that prayer a long time ago, but yet, Lord, their life is just filled with poison. And they just can't seem to break free of it. I pray, Lord, today You would help them decide to follow You and to get rid of the toxic thinking and to replace those toxic thoughts with Your Word. Help them, Lord. Give them just a spiritual evidence as they walk out of these doors today that You are with them. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.